Hello, everyone. It's Steve Baker. It's Monday, July the 10th, and it's time for another 5 in 10. Before I get started, please don't forget to like and subscribe to my Rumble channel if that's where you're watching or hearing this right now. You know, for all the reasons everybody always mentions. You know the drill. Okay, number one, let's get going. I'm having a lot of fun with this new response I've adopted to leftist demands for gun control. You can't reason with leftists by explaining that an AR isn't a weapon of war. You most certainly cannot reason with them on the mathematical fact about how they manipulate the data to come up with that child death rate number. My new response, when will Democrats admit that 90% of all gun violence is Democrats shooting other Democrats? Clean up your own house first or shut up. Obviously, someone, friend or foe, will ask me to provide the source, the link, or the study backing up that assertion. There really is no such determinative study on that basis. My assertion is more to evoke a thought exercise than anything else. Now, don't get me wrong, that assertion is pretty damn accurate, give or take a percentage point or two. For instance, I recently mentioned the story about 10 gun murders in D.C. in the first 4 days of July. Do I really need to point out that 92.5% of D.C.'s voters voted for Biden in 2020, so it's pretty well likely I'm right in that particular case. And that's before we even get into the racial components of those who were shot and those who did the shooting. Do not more than 90% of blacks still regularly vote for Democrats nationwide? And in the nation's 20 largest cities, most democratically controlled, by the way, black men ages 18 to 25 die from gun homicides at a rate nearly 19 times that of those same cities' white residents. Why? Because they are killing each other. Get outside of those Democratic strongholds and the relatively small number of white victims drops even further. Now, don't get me wrong. Whites are more likely to shoot whites, just as blacks are more likely to shoot other blacks. The problem is that school and mall shootings get all the attention of the press, but the number of gun homicides in the minority communities of Democratic stronghold cities dwarfs that of school and other quote-unquote mass shootings. Now, we can have a fair debate as to why black and brown people living in democratically controlled inner cities, where they continue to vote for Democrats in virtually every election, are more likely to shoot one another than they are to shoot Republicans in the burbs or rural counties. But this thought exercise I propose makes one have to take an honest assessment of why. By the numbers, it seems pretty damn accurate that 90% of all gun homicides are Democrats shooting other Democrats. While it's likely most of those inner-city gangbangers don't vote at all, they are still the product of whom their parents and grandparents have voted for 60 years, and the net effect of Democratic control of their cities since LBJ's Great Society was implemented. This stark crime differential reality didn't exist before black nuclear family structures were destroyed by the modern welfare state and when it was implemented in the 60s. So, I think you get my point. Number two, we've all seen the videos. Flash mobs of youths, teens to 20-somethings, they suddenly descend on some kind of retail business, and in only a few minutes, they utterly loot and ransack those stores. Whether it's gangs of 20 taking down a convenience store or 300 of them wiping out a Walmart or Target, this trend is happening again and again and again in predominantly minority and democratically controlled communities. Not all, but most. I posed the question this morning on Twitter with an accompanying video of one such event. I asked, I'm ready for an explanation of why these flash mobs are doing this all over the country. This is not organic. 50, 100, 300 teens don't just suddenly target a business in this manner in the moment. Who is planning these events and why? In this case, like a good lawyer, I didn't ask a question I didn't already know the answer to. And one reader got the absolutely correct answer. She said these are radical leftists using teens as chaos agents. Disruption is their goal. It makes people feel so unsafe that they beg for government intervention and usher in the authoritarian state. Hegelian dialectic. Problem, reaction, solution. Boom. She got it exactly right. Remember in 2008 when then presidential candidate Barack Obama said we need a federal police force as large and well-funded as our military? The only way that happens is getting the people to cry out for protection and safety. Then, like in the old Soviet Union, you can justify having soldiers or police forces standing on every corner or patrolling the streets night and day. Now we just need to discover which group or organization is organizing and funding these destructive flash mobs. These are not spontaneous eruptions. Number three, let's talk about the science of climate change. If you haven't noticed, the mainstream media is heating up the narrative yet again. Remember in a previous 5 and 10, I covered the WEF's stated desire to reduce individual ownership of automobiles by 75%, which of course means they're probably going to have to even back off of their encouragement for everyone to switch to electric vehicles as well. We now have a new emerging narrative to initiate that goal. According to the Washington Post, it is our tires and our brake pads, not our tailpipes, that are spewing more pollution from our cars. Yeah, seriously. But not just climate change, but your tires and brake pads create more of the kind of pollution that's linked to heart and lung disease. And here's the punchline from the Washington Post. They say, scientists say the issue will only grow worse as more cars, including heavier electric cars that put out more strain on tires, are put on the road. Unlike car tailpipe emissions, brake and tire emissions are not regulated, which suggests the pollution may continue unchecked for the foreseeable future. So there you have it. Going electric isn't good enough. Eliminating your car is the ultimate goal. Number four, even more climate change scare science from NBC News. According to NBC, doctors and experts are seeing a rise in cases of kidney stones among teenagers, particularly teenage girls. Now, that's assuming that the so-called experts can still identify the difference between boys and girls. But to quote NBC, they say, experts aren't sure why more children and teens are developing the condition, but they speculate that a combination of factors are to blame, including diets high in ultra-processed foods, increased use of antibiotics early in life, and, wait for it, climate change due to dehydration. Look, this may be a little bit too much TMI for you, but no one is as experienced with kidney stones as is yours truly. For almost 30 years, I am a grizzled veteran of the kidney stone wars, including a couple of surgeries as a result of my ongoing battle with those little buggers. Most certainly, diet can play a role if you are genetically predisposed to that battle, but climate change? Really? If that's the case, you'd have to assume that kids are going outside during the summer at the same rate as we did when we were children, and that's just not the case. We all know the battle of getting our kids today to even go outside. They are addicted to TV, video games, their phones and other devices, and air conditioning. Not to mention the helicoptering parenting of kids nowadays that won't allow children out of their sight. By the time I was 7, I was disappearing from home early in the morning and not coming home until dark. We were riding bikes, playing ball, catching snakes, and plinking turtles with our BB guns. And then later, by the time I was 12, we were doing that with our .22 rifles down at the pond or the bayous in my home state of Louisiana. Just drive around the average suburban neighborhood today and show me the large group of kids outside playing sandlot ball and in roaming packs on their bikes. That was the norm 50 years ago, but far, far more rare today. It's been a month since summer break from school began, and I've not seen a single kid of any age ride a bike past my house. And I work riding on my front porch every day that I'm not on the road or in D.C. Me and my friends used to ride for miles almost every day during the summer. You just don't see that anymore. If these kids are producing kidney stones, it's from sitting on their asses all day in front of their TVs or other devices and eating junk food. It's not from dehydration related to climate change. But according to the experts, everything is related to climate change now. Everything. And that sky is falling cacophony is only going to increase in the coming days. Number five, I'm continuing to make the argument that the biggest domestic threat we now face is the left's current and increasing assault on free speech. Of course, this elicits a deluge of responses from the left about Republican book banning in schools. One such person, just this morning, in response to my assertion, sent me a link to all the books currently banned in Florida's schools. Now, this was hilarious because the link he sent me included additional links to every one of those books where they could all be purchased from American online retailers. I mean, this is the kind of stuff you can't make up, coming from the low-information voters who are keeping Democrats in power. Another lady told me that right-wingers were responsible for banning classics that used to be required reading in school. I asked her to give me one such title. She didn't. I then sent her my own list of books that were required reading when I was in school, like The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, and of course, To Kill a Mockingbird, asking her if the right wing were responsible for those books being removed from school libraries. She didn't respond. You see, right or left, nothing really is being banned. To remove To Kill a Mockingbird, the ultimate anti-racist tome, is something only abjectly ignorant or downright stupid people can aspire to begin with. To remove child porn in the form of teaching middle schoolers how to perform oral sex on each other with graphic illustrations is no different, quite frankly, than preventing age-inappropriate material such as Playboy or Hustler from being available in school libraries, or not allowing cigarette machines next to the Coke machines at school, or serving beer in the cafeteria. Society restricts access to all manner of things based on age all the time. That does not mean any of those things are quote-unquote banned. So now, whenever anyone lists for me a book that they claim has been banned, I just send them the link to that particular title on Amazon, from where they can now purchase it and provide it to their own children if they so desire. All right, that's it for today. Please consider joining my Locals community, where I share content I do not put out anywhere else. It is free to subscribe on Locals, but for as little as $5 per month, you can get more content than I put out anywhere else and also help support my continued investigations into government weaponization and the ongoing revelations about what really happened on January 6th. Just simply go to TPC4USA.com, TPC4USA.com, or from your app store, download the Locals app and then search for @TPC4USA. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Truth Social with the same handle, @TPC4USA. Thanks a bunch for joining me today, and I'll see you again tomorrow with another 5 in 10.